praying and asking God to speak through the one true story of the world. So let's pray together. Our Lord, we're grateful for this, your word, for ways that you preserved this ancient story and the ancient stories of how you worked among people that are just like us. How grateful we are for your mercy and your grace that comes to us in needy times. That you are with us, Lord, today and tomorrow, and will be with us and we with you for all of eternity. So, Lord, would you come to us now by your Spirit, speak to us through your word as we consider this ancient true story that you've given us for our good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Israel had endured 40 years of peace. Things were like they were supposed to be in the promised land. But they began two-timing the Lord. They began worshiping other gods, and the Lord said, you weren't supposed to do this. You see, they continued to worship the Lord, the God of Israel. But little by little, they started to worship Baal and his wife, Asherah. And they went to Baal because, well, they had needs. And they wanted to make sure all of their bases were covered. And so they went to Baal, like they went to the Lord, to pray for their crops. I mean, they were absolutely dependent on the Lord for their crops, as farmers are today. Even with their pesticides and the things that they put on the land. So they went to the Lord and they'd offered him a sacrifice and, Lord, would you bless our crops? And then they went to Baal and said, would you bless our crops? And then the same thing for fertility. There were no fertility clinics. So they went to the Lord and they said, Lord, would you give us children? They needed children to run their farms. And then they go over to Asherah, Baal's wife, the goddess of fertility, and said, would you bless our crops? And then when they had other needs, they go to the Lord and they'd offer a sacrifice, and they'd go over to Baal or to Asherah, and they'd say, would you take care of these needs? And they were two-timing the Lord when the Lord had said, none of this. I want you to worship me and me only. And finally, the Lord said, enough is enough. And he allowed the Midianites to come in. They came in like a swarm of locusts every harvest season. They came in on camels. They'd sweep across the land and they'd grab all of the plants. Anything that was ready to be harvested, they would grab for themselves. They'd take the livestock, the sheep and the goats, And they take them as well. And the Jews were so frightened of this locust swarm that they went and they hid in the hills. They hid in the caves of the promised land. They didn't enjoy the fruits of the promised land, but they just sat there and watched it all being taken away from them. And so finally they called out to the Lord and they say, Lord, help us. Lord, would you help us? And that's when the Lord came to Gideon. Gideon was a nobody in a Nowheresville tribe. And the visitor came to him and he said, mighty warrior, the Lord is with you. He said, what do you mean he's with me? How can I be mighty? Here I am and I'm in hiding. I'm taking our wheat and I'm harvesting it, or I'm threshing it in our wine press so that nobody will take it and nobody will see me. I may be a leader in my clan, but what do you mean, mighty warrior? I'm hiding. I'm doing things under cover of night like everybody does. And his visitor said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And Gideon said, well, let me go and offer a sacrifice to the Lord. After all, we got to do this right. And he went and he killed a goat, and he boiled the goat and got some grain and made a cake, made some bread, and then he brought it out. And his guests said, "Okay, put that there on that stone. And he took his rod like Moses took his rod and he put it on the stone and zapped it. And the whole thing burst into flame. And Gideon said, oh, this must be the Lord. There's something going on here. But then the man disappeared. But then he came back. He said, now, Gideon, you and your family, and your, you know, you guys, you've been two-timing me. He said, I want you to get rid of this altar to Baal and the Asher pole to his wife. I want you to get rid of them. And Gideon said, okay, we'll do that, but we'll do it at night. And he took 10 men under cover of night, and they went there to the clan altar to Baal and the pole to his wife Asherah. And they took one of the bulls and they knocked it over. And then they took the Asherah pole and they chopped it up and they made a big altar to the Lord. And they took the other bull and they put it up on top and they offered a great sacrifice to the Lord. As if to say, we are worshiping you alone and giving everything to you alone. But then in the morning, the boys got up and they said, what happened here? What's with this meat that's burning here? There's just a little bit left. And what happened to that bull that was ready to harvest this year? We don't have many of those. What's going on here? And what is Baal going to do now? He will curse us even worse. And Asherah, his wife, we won't have any children. Who is the man? And one of the 10 who'd done the work probably squealed on him and said, well, it's him. It's Gideon. And Gideon's dad, who may or may not have known till that moment, who was probably a priest of Midian, came forward and he said, yeah, it's my son. But let's have a battle of the gods here. If Baal is worried about this, if Baal is concerned, let Baal defend him. And then they let it go, waiting for Baal to defend himself or not. But the Lord wasn't done with Gideon. He said, okay, now you've proclaimed your loyalties. Now, he says, it's time to get rid of these locusts. Said, I want you to take my people and I want you to go down to the valley of Jezreel. That was a legendary battlefield. It'd be like us saying, let's go over to Gettysburg and meet the enemy. And Gideon said, well, that's a tall order, Lord. How do I know that this is from you? And so he said, I want you to go. And he said, Lord, if I take a fleece and I put it on the ground and the ground is wet, I want the fleece to be dry. And the Lord said, okay, this is not my usual means of doing things. In fact, it may well be a pagan way of doing things. But the Lord was gracious and merciful to Gideon. And he said, okay, he said, we'll do it. And then in the next morning, the fleece was dry and the ground was wet. And Gideon said, oh man, he said, mighty warrior, right? He said, but I need some more help here. Lord, would you make the fleece wet and the ground dry? And sure enough, the next morning, the Lord in his grace and in his mercy had confirmed his calling to Gideon that the ground was now dry and the fleece was wet. And so Gideon said, okay, I'm ready to go. And then the text tells us that the Spirit of God covered Gideon. He clothed him like a suit of clothes or like warrior's armor. And then Gideon got out his trumpet and he blew the trumpet blast and all of God's people from these little tribes from the middle of nowhere rushed onto the battlefield to meet the Midianites and the otherites. in a great battle against the locusts of their day. Well, the Lord calls us to a world that's hurting right now. And you wonder how much tighter the Lord can call. Because we're crying out to Him. Crying out to Him for a nation that's in trouble, can't get along. We call out to Him for a church and the church that is struggling because we meet, but we don't meet. We got folks that are with us, but some that are not. They may not be for a while. We call to Him for our families. Our families are divided. Many of them, or some of them among us today, with people who are sick. And like Gideon, we struggle with courage. It's not that we don't know what to do. Often we know what to do. But to have that courage to take the next step, it might be a little thing. It might be a big thing. But God is saying, I want you to move ahead. And the question that we have for the Lord is, Lord, won't you strengthen me? Won't you help me to know what to do? And He says, here's what I want you to do to start with. He said, I want you to start with by knocking down the altars that compete with me. You see, we're really good at two-timing as well, aren't we? And so we worship the Lord and we say, Lord, I'm following you and you alone. But then we spend all of our time listening to others. Maybe talk radio, or maybe another media source, maybe the television, maybe people at our university, or people that speak loudly into our lives, or the research that we do, and research and research and research. Maybe social media. There's another God that we're listening to instead of to the Lord and to the Lord alone. And we go and we're two-timing Him, or maybe it's our resources. And maybe, you know, as a church or maybe as families, we're all concerned, and we're just shoveling away a little bit more into the bank, or we're just glad that we got that because it's really not the Lord that we're trusting in, but it's our pocketbook or our bank account. Or maybe it's our addictions. Maybe if we're honest, you know, what happens is we cry out to the Lord, but maybe at the same time, maybe we're crying out, we're running to that other God that we are addicted to. Maybe it's stuff. Maybe it's shopping. Maybe it's food. Maybe it's substances that we shouldn't be partaking of that much. Maybe something that we shouldn't run after, or maybe it's a means of control, of grabbing onto things and saying, I will do this, instead of saying, Lord, I can't do this. Lord, I'm giving it to you and to you alone. See, the Lord comes to us and He says, go, I'm with you, mighty warrior. You're not alone. I promise to be with you, to never, ever forsake you. Go in the might that you have, mighty warrior. And I'll encourage you along the way. We need courage, though. We need courage to follow the Lord alone. And how do we have that courage? How can we gain that courage that Gideon eventually had? Well, as it says in verse 12, the courage that we gain is by remembering that the Lord is with us. How many times have we remembered that through Scripture? Think of Adam and Eve walking through the garden, and the Lord met them and walked with them day by day. Or there was Deborah and Barak. You remember the Lord said, I'm with you. And He went with them into battle in their dysfunctional ways. He fought with them and for them and brought people together. Or Moses at the burning bush. I'm with you, buddy. I know you messed up back in Egypt, but I am with you. And he was with him when he took his rod and went over to Pharaoh and led God's people across the Red Sea. And then there was Joshua, who was crossing the Jordan River. And the Lord said, be strong and courageous, because I am with you. And then David, in that great psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's with me even in the valley of the shadow of death, so I'll fear no evil. Because why? Because he's with me. It's his presence that gives us hope. It's his presence that gives us strength. As the Lord called Isaiah and he called Jeremiah, he said, I'm with you. You might feel like a nobody. Maybe you are a nobody in Nowheresville. But I will be with you just as I was with Gideon. But think of Mary and Joseph. So what was the name that they said they would give to Jesus? It was Emmanuel, which means who's with us? God with us. Jesus came. He lived among us. He was with that young man and that young woman, and then with the disciples as they followed him, and as he was raised from the dead, then he sent his Spirit to be with us forever, just as he promised. And he told the disciples, go and preach the gospel in all nations. For lo, I am with you. I'm with you until the end of the earth. He is with us as we make disciples, as we follow his mission throughout this area and around the world. As we move toward the end of the Bible, the Lord said to his church, not to unbelievers, though we often use it that way, he said to his church, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. I'm knocking. Why? Because he said, I want to come in that I might be with you and you with me. I want to have dinner with you. your cup's going to run over at this meal. I want to have dinner with you and you with me. You're not alone. I'm with you no matter what comes your way. But how we need reminders. The other day I was feeling kind of discouraged, kind of down, and trying to get back up, but it wasn't working. And we went over to mail a package, and we had a couple of big packages. They were going over the border, and so it was going to cost a lot of money, and thinking, oh, no, no, no. And we prayed when we went, and we weighed one package, we weighed another package. They said, you know, we could combine these packages. And the postmaster put them together, and you know, we had a two-for-one deal. And it's such a simple thing. It was like 3:00 in the afternoon. And I said, yeah, Lord, you're here. You are with me. You are with us. And that encouraged me the rest of the day. It was a stupid little thing, but it encouraged my soul. And that's what we need, is the encouragement of the Lord to remember that God is with us, because if God is with us, we can face anything in his name. There was a guy that bought a zoo in Great Britain not too long ago. And this guy, he went and he bought a zoo with his wife. I'm not sure what, I don't know what got into him, but he bought a zoo. And the story's told that he got into it and he realized that he was in way over his head. The place was a mess. He wondered what he was going to do. And he said, you know, what I need is 2 minutes of courage. And if I can have 2 minutes of courage, I can conquer this zoo. Do we need 2 minutes of courage, what he called insane courage, to follow the Lord? 2 minutes of insane courage to destroy the competing altars in our lives and to say, Lord, I'm done with this, and I'm going to worship you and follow you and trust in you alone. I'm throwing all of those idols and that one that you've been talking to me about in the trash. I'm done with it. I'm going to follow you and follow you alone and trust you with my life. Do we need 2 minutes to just hear the words of the Lord. Mighty warrior, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. You see, we know what he wants us to do and to be. It's not that we need more information. The Lord is with us. And he will from time to time give us maybe silly little reminders like I had the other day that he is with us. He's gracious. He doesn't have to do that stuff, but he does. And sometimes in big ways, he reminds us that he is with us. But do we need just 2 minutes to give us courage of remembering that the Lord is with us? Do we need 2 minutes to do what God has called us to do? To be what he's called us to be. Would you bow your heads with me and let's pray. I want to give you 30 seconds to talk to the Lord and ask the Lord to give you courage. Lord, forgive us for being such a bunch of wimpy warriors. I'll speak for myself. Forgive us, Lord, for looking at our own abilities or lack thereof. And Lord, when we get proud, you knock us at the knees and then you remind us, no, it's not you. It never was. Forgive us for trusting in other things or other people or other places other than